please stand with us. We begin worship this morning. Demand. These kids are going to lead us in worship this morning. Isn't that great? I tell you what, I'm so happy. So y'all bow your heads as we open up with a word of prayer this morning. Dear Lord God, I thank you and I praise you, God, that we can come here and worship you in spirit and truth, God, in your house. Lord, I thank you and I praise you for it, Lord. I pray your anointing to be upon our worship service this morning, God, that all the things of the world, the cares of the world, the things that we brought in here with us this morning, God, that we could forget all that stuff and concentrate and worship you and only you, God. Lord, I pray anointing of the Holy Spirit to be upon Richie this morning as he brings your word. And I thank you for it all in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now, just a couple of announcements. You can go ahead and remain standing because it's not going to take long. The Lottie Moon, we're still collecting for the Lottie Moon. I can't see exactly how much we have there. But there's envelopes in the back of the pews. You can put your money in that, drop it off by the door. You can also do it online or through text the way we have been giving before. And I'd also like to make an announcement. You know, y'all have seen, you know, Burke County's red, whole Northern Panhandle's red and everything. So we'd just like to remind and encourage everybody that while you're in church to wear your mask and just to, you know, protect yourself and people around you the best that we can. All right? Thank you all very much. So with that, we're going to bring back a song that the kids introduced to everybody last week called Make Room.
Sorrow. Is there room? how great you are. God, as we come before your throne today, I pray that we can take a few minutes and set aside those outside things, those outside problems and issues. We put away all the other stuff going on. And we can turn off our phones. And we can turn off our games. And we can sit and worship you and be reminded of how great you are. Seated, and children may go back to the back for extended, or workers as well. So, church, glad you're here today. Welcome. Today, I've been blessed with the opportunity to get to come before you to be able to preach right before Christmas. And I got to be honest, that was a harder task than I thought it would be. Because everybody knows the Christmas story, especially if you've been in church for a while. Everybody seems to know what happened for Christmas. But before I share this story with you, I thought I'd tell you a little bit more about me. See, my name is Rich Davis, as most of you are well aware. And most of you are well aware that I serve here as the youth pastor at Open Door. I'm a husband and a father and a general manager with Office Depot. Some of you know that Cynthia and I have been serving here for almost 13 years. Well, basically as long as we've been married. What most of you don't know about me, however, is that I don't like the Christmas season. Actually, more often than not, I get accused of being a Grinch sometimes when it comes to Christmas. And there's a multitude of reasons why, but I'll be honest and tell you that from years of working in retail and dealing with the public and that one angry person who has to have that Christmas gift on Christmas Eve, the last second, if you're out there, I apologize, but you've pushed me to dislike the Christmas season. The truth is, I think most people can relate to that, because I think most of us, as we look at our world, as we look at the different things, as we get involved in the rushing around and the getting the gifts and the making sure that we have the right thing for the right person, and the maxing out credit cards, or spending money that we don't have, or spending money we do have that we were using for something else, or that car that breaks down at the most inopportune time, or whatever it might be, that we lose sight of the meaning of Christmas. Now, I'm going to be honest and tell you that Christmas was a lot more difficult before I had kids. Because I will say that watching children and their excitement and their joy when they go through Ogilvy's light show and they're so entranced by a bunch of little bulbs lighting up the way is quite entertaining. And I will say that doing some family traditions that we have, like making gingerbread houses and watching as my children attempt to put together a house out of, you know, graham crackers and frosting and basically just sit and eat candy the whole day. You know, it's an entertaining experience. I haven't shared the same joys of forcing them to open a bunch of Rolos yet, but that's a story for another day. But the lights and the cookies and the snowflakes, while it's begun to bring back a joy that I have found for Christmas and the holiday season, it's still not the reason behind the season. It's still not the purpose. So today, I thought we would look at what Christmas is. But don't get too excited, because all I'm going to do is give you a prologue. See, I want to get you, in the beginning, understanding what kind of starts it, the why we should celebrate it. I'm going to leave the Christmas story to Larry on Christmas Eve. So today is the why we celebrate, but not necessarily what we're celebrating. So in order to look at that, though, I think it's important that we go to the beginning. So if we start off, we go Genesis 1:1. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. All right, so I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't have time to preach the entire Old Testament. I thought that might be a little difficult with 929 chapters and 23,145 verses. I didn't think you guys really wanted to sit here the entirety of me trying to exegetically explain all of that. So we're going to bump a little bit further ahead instead. But keep that in mind. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Instead, if you have your Bibles, open up to John chapter 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 18 today, and that's where the predominant of where we're going to be at today. John chapter 1, starting with verse 1, and it starts off exactly like this. It says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. Verse 9 starts off and says, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. Verse 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cried out, saying, this is the one I spoke about when I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. Out of his fullness, we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. To understand Christmas, to understand the prologue, we have to understand a handful of different things. Three different things that I have. Magic number. To understand Christmas, we have to understand that Jesus dwelt among us. All right, now I realize this might seem kind of redundant. You're thinking, all right, well, that's obvious. It's literally right in the text. I can read. I know. I can too, but sometimes I don't always see it when I read. I'm hoping you feel the same way sometimes. So let me help you understand the text. Jesus dwelt among us. When you look at, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God in John 1:1. And then you look at John 1:14, it says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. This isn't saying that Word, being the Bible, was there in the beginning. This isn't saying in the beginning was a spoken word. This is, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was Jesus. Because he became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus literally was there in the very beginning. Easy concept. Right? Surely, it's a simple thing. We understand what the beginning of a creation is. We understand that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We understand that in the beginning, there was nothing. And God said, let there be light. Jesus was there in the beginning. He was with God. He was God. He became flesh. Now, I'm going to speak from the worldly perspective for a minute here. I know that when I give power to somebody, when I give somebody control, more often than not, especially younger people, they get this power-hungry feel. Now, some of you don't know this, but last week we had a little Christmas party with the youth group. And I have a couple young leaders who are helping me out as in serving capacity, that I allowed be support leaders for the day. Actually, two of them are in the back right now. They don't know this, but will you guys stand up for a second? You already know who I'm talking about. Don't even try. They ironically are still wearing the shirt. I don't know if they showered this week at all, but that's okay. We got some nice shirts for our youth event last week. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Thank you, too. So these two, though, they stood up. They helped me out. They got a taste of being in charge. It was funny because as the day went on, they didn't want to give up being in charge. They're like, no, we don't need to play. We're good. Power is addicting. Being in control is difficult for people to let go of. I know when I'm in control and then I go to a situation that I'm not in control, I don't generally handle it as well. It might be me being a type A personality. I might be a control freak. I don't know. I'm not going to make a case for that at the moment. Rather, though, I'd like to point out that Christ was fully God. Right? He was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus was God, and then he became flesh. Now listen, I know it seems like we have power sometimes. I know for those of us who have authority and leadership, sometimes it seems like we have power in our in our different areas of expertise or our different jobs. And I know I'm pretty much convinced that Matt just makes magic happen when it comes to his construction. But outside of that, we don't really have the power of God. Nor do I think we would be able to maintain a self-control if we did. However, Jesus dwelt among us, fully God, fully man. He lived a life entirely perfect. And this is what I mean by I'm just giving you a prologue for Christmas. I'm just giving you a sneak peek. Because here's the truth. In order to understand what Christmas is, in order to understand Christmas, we have to understand that Jesus dwelt among us. That he actually came down and was with us. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, we all know that for all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. See, we walk on this earth, we do all the different things we do, and yet we sin. And I'll be the first to admit that I am not a perfect person. Most of you don't know me well enough to know that. I don't think any of you think I'm perfect, but I think I know. Thank you. Thanks, Donna. There's a couple people. Most of the rest of you know me better than that. The truth of the matter is, we all have sinned. Just because we don't talk about my sin or your sin doesn't mean that you or I have sinned any less. Just because we don't voice what has actually occurred doesn't make it any less real. A very wise brother of mine actually mentioned that the truth of the Christian church is we don't talk about our sins almost at all. And truly, that brother of mine is right. We don't. Church, we don't talk about our weaknesses. We don't talk about our missteps. And I'll let that brother preach on that on a whole nother day, but what I'm going to tell you is this. Jesus lived the same life capable that we live. Wasn't a whole lot older than me when he died, but he was blameless. He was without sin. In Revelations, it says, Revelation 21:3, it says, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men. He will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them." Jesus dwelt among us. It wasn't that he just showed up, was bragging, and then left. It wasn't that he came down, said, "Oh, you guys could do this. Come on," kicked us around, and then left. It wasn't that he came down, said, "This is too hard," used his powers, and then left. It wasn't that he did anything other than live a life of glory and honor to the Lord. So the God of the universe, the God who created, God who is there at creation, at such an early life, lived. So why? Why does that matter? Why is that important? Because he was God. And it sets us up for this next conversation piece, which is that Jesus demonstrated love. See, in order to understand what Christmas is, we have to understand that Jesus dwelt among us and that he demonstrates love. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you have the love chapter, as it's commonly titled. Verse 4 starts off like this. It says, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast. It's not proud, nor does it dishonor others. It's not self-seeking, it's not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. My personal favorite verse, love never fails. To understand Christmas, we have to understand that Jesus demonstrates love. Now, that's difficult to understand. That's difficult for us to visualize or see because we didn't personally see Jesus. We didn't know him in person. We didn't get to hang out with him. I didn't get to bowl with Jesus. Yes, I'm convinced there was bowling in New Testament days. Don't ask me how. It's just, it was there. Okay? Here's the thing. Jesus demonstrated love through his entire life. Jesus demonstrated his love by coming down and living a life as a mortal man. He looked, he acted, he sounded relatively like us. He probably had better grammar than me, but he relatively sounded like us. I know that for a fact that he had better grammar than me, let's be honest. If he was able to hang out in the temple at 12, come on. There's no way. He came down. He left perfection. He left everything that was heaven to come and live just like us. So how does that demonstrate love? Well, it demonstrates love because he came down, not because he had to. It demonstrates love because he wanted to. It demonstrated love because when you look at that love chapter, when you look at what love truly is, it always protects, it always trusts, it always hopes, and always perseveres. Jesus did all those things. Jesus came down and loved us so much that he died when he didn't have to. For a bunch of sinful people that didn't know any different. When you look at the text, it says that he came to his own, in verse 11, he came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. Verse 10, right before it says, he was in the world, and the world was created through him, and yet the world did not recognize him. To understand the Christmas story, to understand Christmas, we have to understand that Jesus demonstrates love. And there's a lot to be said about love. There's thousands of books written on it, millions of songs, songs that question what love is, books that ask the same, books that talk about different love languages, books that talk about different ways to show love. But Jesus demonstrates it. He demonstrated it so much more than we can ever understand. See, because I like a lot of you, but I can't say I would die for all of you. I'd like to, but I can't say I would. And I think that most people in the room could say the same. You might like a handful of us, but that doesn't mean you would die for all of us. Especially knowing that we've sinned against you. See, we in this country, we in the world, we as humans, we have this thing where once you've hurt our feelings, once you've hurt us, we're done. We don't want to deal with you anymore. I've been there. I've had my feelings hurt. Larry didn't like my bow tie. Kept calling me horrible. But I sometimes it's hard to deal with those things. Sometimes we cry for weeks. The truth is, though, Christ, even though we sinned, even though we make fun of him and we mocked him, even though they spat on him, even though they turned away, even though they walked away, even though they're confused, even though we have failed as believers, even though we have messed up, even when we've missed church, even when we miss a Sunday school class, even when we miss a priority, even when we can't give enough, we can't give enough time, we can't give enough money, we can't do whatever it is, even then we're committing a sin, and he knows we are. You might not want to admit it. You might not want to discuss it, but he knows what we are doing. He knows everything about us. And yet still, he loved us. And yet still, he demonstrates love by coming down and living a perfect life. My last thing, to understand Christmas, we have to understand that Jesus decides our future. Now, I know, you're asking, where did I get that from the text? It wasn't as easy as my first point. Let me help you out. So when we look at it, it says this. It says, he became flesh, dwelt among us. We observed his glory, and the glory as the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him and exclaimed that this was the one of whom I said, the one coming after me ranks ahead of me because he existed before me. Indeed, we have all received grace upon grace from his fullness. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the one and only Son, who is himself God and is at the Father's side. He has revealed him. He became flesh. He came from heaven, became flesh, and showed grace upon us. So what's that got to do with our future? Well, the reality is, there's been talks, and if you paid attention to Larry's sermons at all, now, I said if you're sleeping, that's on you. No judgments here, okay? If you're paying attention to Larry's sermons, you might have heard a little thing about heaven recently. You might have heard a little thing about the end times, that it might be soon. If you pay attention to Scripture, the future's coming. Yeah, I know that's kind of vague. But the future's coming. And I'm going to leave it at that. But what I'm going to tell you is Jesus decides our future. So where do you stand? I'd actually like to play a clip real quick.
Hey, Ed, come check out my North Star Christmas tree topper. It levitates.
Is this a gummy bear?
Yeah, we lost baby Jesus. Hey, check out these LED lights. I have them synced up to a 76-hour all Christmas music playlist.
There's my little Christmas DJ.
So, are you waiting till Christmas is over so you can go buy a new nativity set when they're on sale?
Huh? No. We lost baby Jesus like 11 years ago.
Is baby Jesus always a gummy bear?
No. We trade it out every year. Yeah, like last year it was a tiny troll doll. And the year before that we used a dog treat. They were the perfect size, but Dalton kept taking them and eating them.
You mean your dog kept stealing them?
No, my son Dalton. He loves those dog treats. Especially the peanut butter ones. There was one year that we used a doll head. That was creepy. We made a modeling clay baby Jesus. So the dog took that one too. One year we got desperate and used an ice cube. That was a miss and a mess. Yeah, just seems like everything we try to replace baby Jesus with never lasts.
Say that again.
Everything we try to replace baby Jesus with never seems to last.
And
what?
Say it again, slowly.
Why?
Just do it, dulcimo. Slowly, do it.
I don't understand what's happening.
Just do it.
This is getting weird.
Quiet!
Fine! But when I'm done saying this, you're gonna march in here and you're gonna watch my star levitate.
I'm fine. Do it.
Fine. Everything we try to replace baby Jesus with never seems to... Oh, yep, there it is. Okay. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
We get caught up in a lot of things in this world. We get distracted. We get confused. We put our priorities in the wrong places. But at the end, nothing that we put in front of baby Jesus, nothing we try to ever replace him with will ever be enough. See, Christ dwelt among us. And he demonstrates love. And he decides our future. So are you putting something else before him? Are you distracted this Christmas season? Or do you understand what Christmas is really all about? I'm going to be honest, just like I was in the beginning, and say that I get distracted fairly easily during Christmas season. Like I said, you work retail for long enough, you kind of get annoyed during Christmas. And I'll be the first to admit that I am not perfect when it comes to play. That I am not always the best person to be around for that very reason. But I know that in writing this sermon, in preparing for this message, I know what I want to do. I want to make sure that I'm giving God everything. Amen. That I'm prioritizing God in my life. Because the truth is, with Christ dwelling among us, I want to make sure that I can live a life that brings him glory and honor. So, church, today my challenge is this for you. What are you putting in front of baby Jesus? What are you trying to replace him with? Do you feel like it's actually making a difference? Or is it scary like the doll head? Maybe it's sweet like the candy. Or spicy, depending on how you like your candy. Maybe it's something just to get you by. Church, I can't answer that for you. I can say that mine tends to be what's just getting me by. Let me distract myself just long enough. Church, I challenge you like I challenge myself. Let's get rid of the distractions. Let's get rid of the false pretenses. Let's get rid of the false idols. Let's take this Christmas season and beyond and truly understand what Christmas is about. If you haven't already planned to, I encourage you to plan to be here Christmas Eve to hear the Christmas story. But I'm going to ask the praise team to come forward here. And we're going to close with a time of worship, a time of prayer. And I pray that in this, that you think about what's in the way of Jesus for you. I pray you think about who Christ is to you. And I pray that church, together, we can get rid of those false idols. We can get rid of those distractions. The way we can give Jesus our all. Let's close in a word of prayer. Gracious Father, thank you. Thank you for your love and your mercy. Thank you for your grace that in our weakness you remind us who you are. God, I pray that our lives, that our distractions, the Lord, we can set it all apart and come back to you. God, it's in your great name I pray. Amen.
Will you all please stand with us? Thank you.
living, he loved me.